Good morning, my friends. This is missionary James Robinette. I'm a missionary with Action International Ministries Uganda. May the Lord of glory, the Lord of all grace, bless you once again this Lord's Day morning as we look into His holy word and as we hear His voice in the scriptures. May the Lord be pleased to speak to our hearts so that we can understand His precious word and receive saving grace thereby from the Word of God and exalt God as we meet with Him once again. Today, we're looking at Psalm 119. And so if you have your Bible available, please turn to Psalm 119, this glorious declaration of God's nature and of the glories of His excellent Word given to us through King David. We believe that David is the writer, the author of Psalm 119. My friends, the Lord has surely been good to all of us. He has blessed us. He has given us the precious word of life, which is really our guide to heaven. If we listen to the word of God, if we believe the word of God, if we entrust ourselves to the Creator who has spoken to us in the Holy Bible, we will surely be glorified with the Lord Jesus Christ, the mighty Savior and God who has come to save us through His gospel, through the living Word of God. And so, as I often do, I must encourage you and declare to you the glories and the excellence of the Bible. It's really my heart's cry that the Bible will be lifted up in your estimation. These precious words are not just a book, but they are indeed the very words of the living God by which men live. The Word is able to save us. The Word is able to give us spiritual life. The Word is able, by the power of God, to shape us and sanctify us, to make us holy and prepare us to meet with God Almighty, who will then speak with us face to face. But in the meantime, God has blessed us with His very own thoughts, His word, His expression to us of all that we must know about Him and about salvation. This most important and essential, vital, living knowledge, the knowledge of God and how to be saved by God, are declared to us in this wonderful Holy Oracle. These indeed are the very words, the sayings of God. And so I am pleased to declare to you the excellence that is found in Psalm 119 this morning. My friends, now let us pray before we hear God's word. Father, thank you. Thank you once again for the glorious word, the excellent word, the holy word, the life-giving, the life-sustaining word. Thank you for this sanctifying and glorifying word. Thank you that it is by the truth that you set your people free. And Lord, we thank you that the word of life gives blessing to us. It gives direction to us. It reveals your law, your will. It shows us our sinfulness. It leads us to the Lord Jesus Christ. It shows us Christ. It declares His person to us. And it is a word of salvation for everyone who will receive it, as it is indeed the oracles of God. Thank you for this beautiful and precious and glorious psalm that you have given to us through your servant, King David. And we thank you for the great love for your word that he expresses here, which is a blessing to us. And so, enable us now to meet with you, Lord, and love you and love your words and receive your word as it is indeed in truth the word of life, a spiritual word which will enter into our hearts. We pray that the word that is preached today and spoken forth will continue to abide in our hearts, and so we shall be saved. We thank you for your mercy and your kindness, Lord. Lord, Holy Spirit, come and reveal to us the excellent word as we find it here. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. My friends, let me just share with you as we begin this morning about Psalm 119, a few excellent statements by Christian leaders regarding the glory of this psalm, the beauty of this psalm, the perfection of this psalm. One man put it this way. He said that the pressing study of the scriptures, which we should undertake, we are advised to undertake it every morning and to meditate upon the Word of God, is such a blessing as we find it in this psalm, that the writer desired to meditate twice in the year upon this very long chapter in the Bible. He said that this would bring him to be in love with the rest of the scripture. He often said, all grace grows as love to the Word of God grows. And so we are perfected through the Word of God, and our love for God is increased, dear friends, as this commentator has shared with us rightly, as we love the Word of God. All grace will grow to us. One man put it this way, it is strange that of all the pieces of the Bible which my mother taught me, that which cost me most to learn and which was to my child's mind most repulsive, the 119th Psalm, has now become of all the most precious to me in its overflowing and glorious passion of love for the law of God. That man's name is John Ruskin. Another writes, this psalm is a prolonged meditation upon the excellence of the Word of God, upon its effects, and the strength and happiness which it gives to a man in every situation. These reflections are interspersed with petitions, in which the psalmist, deeply feeling his natural infirmity, implores the help of God for assistance to walk in the way mapped out for him in the divine oracles, in order to be able to understand and enjoy this remarkable psalm, and that we may not be repelled by its length and by its repetitions, we must have had, in some measure at least, the same experiences as its author, and like him, have learned to love and practice the sacred word. Moreover, this psalm is in some sort a touchstone for the spiritual life of those who read it. The sentiments expressed in it perfectly harmonize with what the historical books and other psalms teach concerning David's obedience and his zeal for God's glory. There are, however, within it words which breathe so elevated a piety that they can have their full sense and perfect truthfulness only in the mouth of him of whom the prophet king was the type. And so the man that I've just shared with you has given us these helpful thoughts, that it is Jesus, the great king, the prophet king, who has spoken in the psalm and who reveals the glory and excellence of the Word of God, all glory and excellence to us. Amen. And so, my friends, we find that Psalm 119 is divided into sections. Psalms 117 is the shortest chapter in the Bible, but just two chapters later in Psalm 119, we find the longest chapter in the Bible, so subdivided into sections. And the psalm is an acrostic of 22 stanzas, one for each letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And there are eight poetic lines of each stanza, which begin with the same Hebrew letter. So we're saying that the first section, the first stanza is called Aleph, and that the lines, the verses that follow under this letter, which is the Hebrew letter, the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and there are eight verses that follow this letter, all begin with the very same letter in the Greek, in the Hebrew alphabet. So it is that the second stanza, it is headed by the Hebrew letter, the second letter, Beth, and then the next eight verses each begin with that letter, that second letter. And so the psalm is purposely fashioned in this way, in this Hebrew poetry style. And we find that in each stanza there are eight verses, and there are 22 stanzas, one for each letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And the words which are translated as law, testimonies, precepts, statutes, commandments, judgments, word, and ordinances are found liberally used throughout this psalm. The psalmist expresses his obvious love for the law of God. He declares that in many places in the psalm. But he also recognizes his sinfulness and his failure to obey the word of God as he should. So we find elements of lament for sin and petition, which are intertwined with expressions of confidence and innocence. This law is a faithful expression of God's character, in that God sent his Son to keep the holy law, which Psalm 119 declares as absolutely glorious and righteous for us. And so by the grace of God, all who have trusted Christ and truly come to him in repentance are no longer condemned by the holy law, but like David, by God's marvelous grace, have been set free now to love God and love his word and love his holy law and seek to obey the law of God and so please God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died in our place. These thoughts are from a study Bible. And so now, my friends, let us look at Psalm 119. We won't be looking at the entire psalm because it's far too long for today's time, the time that God has given us, but we will look at various points of it. And we want to just key on some of the major teachings found in this psalm. In the first stanza, we see that the psalmist declares the blessing that comes to those who receive the word of God and who obey it. The psalm promises blessing. This is a great benefit. This is a great good that comes to us through the word of God. Blessing comes by the word of God to the man who is not corrupted in the way, in his life, in his lifestyle, but who walks or obeys for the most part in his life the law of the Lord. This man has turned from his selfishness and his foolishness of trying to direct his own steps, and he looks to God the Creator, the absolute sovereign, to guide his steps by the Word of God. That is true wisdom. And so blessing comes to this man who keeps God's testimonies and who seeks God with his entire heart. That really speaks of the blessing that comes to all who are truly regenerated, who have sought God and found God with their whole hearts. The word of God here is called his testimony. God has testified. He has declared truth, and he has given testimony in his covenants with mankind throughout history. And so God himself has testified and given a statement, a testimony regarding the glory of his word, his blessed word, which blesses all who obey it. And so the saved man there in verse 3 has turned from iniquity and walks, that is, obeys and fellowships with God in God's wonderful ways, directed by the word of God. And so let me encourage you this morning, my friends, that as believers in Christ, we have a great, great need for God's direction and for fellowship with God. And that will come to us in great measure as the Holy Spirit opens up the Bible to us. And we have a great responsibility to read the Word of God and to study the Word of God, to come to know God in His Word. And then because we know what He requires of us, to obey His Word and then walk with God in obedience to His Word. We can't very well obey God if we do not know His commandments. But verse 4 tells us that God indeed has commanded us to keep His precepts diligently, that is, with great effort, with all of our hearts. We are to keep His law, His commandments, His precepts, those laws and rules that are binding upon us. And so it is that the psalmist there in verse 5 now laments that he does not keep God's statutes, again, His law, as he desires to. In fact, his sin has brought shame upon him in verse 6. But he declares that if he is directed to keep God's law, he will not be ashamed. But when he looks into all of God's commandments, that he will praise God with an upright heart. In other words, the psalmist has learned this great lesson that he must look constantly and often into the commandment of God. Therein he will know God's will and praise God as he does what is right and is pleasing, and that in which he is blessed because he has loved and served God with an upright heart. That is a heart that is right with God by faith, and a heart that consistently walks with God, turning from sin, having victory over sin. He says there a promise to God that he will keep God's statutes, and he cries out that God will not forsake him utterly. Again, notice the connection between the Word of God, receiving it, looking into it, believing it, and obeying it, and fellowship with God. In other places in Psalm 119, the psalmist will lament that he did not keep the law of God and he went astray from God. But surely, my friends, that is foolishness. For us to depart from closeness to God is a foolish action. Our blessing, our good will come as we do not turn away from God, but as we draw close to God and obey his word. Now, in the next section, beginning with the Hebrew letter Beth, we find that the psalmist cries out and asks God there in verse 9, how can a young man cleanse his way? This psalm very well might have been written while David was yet a very young man. And so, being very familiar with the sins of his youth, and these being in his remembrance, he declares and asks how a young man might be purified and how it is that he will be right and clean in his life in a spiritual sense. And the answer is given there in verse 9, that this purity, this cleansing, will come to the young man who obeys or heeds the word of God. Again, the psalmist declares his love with his whole heart. He sought God. He cries out, knowing his weakness, his tendency to stray, don't let me wander from your commandments. I was sharing with my wife recently that I had come to realize that it is only by the work of the Holy Ghost, the spiritual work of God in us, that would lead us to not wander from God's commandments. In fact, it is entirely the work and influence of the Holy Spirit that would lead us to the Bible at any time. If we are led to the Word of God, it is because God's gracious Spirit has led us to the commandment of God. Because by nature, we would wander from the commandments, which convicts us of our sinfulness and reveals the great and glorious God. And so, fallen human nature is opposed to God in his truth. But by the Spirit, we come to develop this love for God that the psalmist says he has hidden in his heart. He has memorized Scripture so that he will not sin against God, so that he keeps God and God's will in his remembrance. Of course, that's a great discipline for us. And we must offer this reminder this morning, dear friend in Christ, that God calls out to us, like the psalmist, to hide the word of God in our hearts, to memorize the word so that we will not sin against God. The psalmist declares that God is blessed and that he desires, again, by the work of the Spirit, the statutes. He wants to know God's will. He wants to know the moral law. He wants to know the secondary laws or the statutes. He wants to know what God has declared to him in the essential doctrines of the Bible. And he wants to know what God has declared to him in secondary doctrines and tertiary doctrines. He wants to know the entire counsel of the Word of God, those things most important and more important, and those things of less importance in the law of God, so that he may then obey them. What a great heart the psalmist has been given by God. A heart set on knowledge and obedience. He declares that from his youth, he has with his own lips spoken forth the judgments of God. He meditates upon God's precepts. He contemplates God's ways. He delights himself in the statutes of God. He does not forget the word of God. Notice again, by way of encouragement this morning, that all of this godly influence, this reverence, this love, this fear for the Word of God, this lamenting a breaking in fellowship with God, this horror at the thought of forgetting God and His Word, all comes about because the Holy Spirit has brought this precious truth into his heart and has deeply taught him these things of God. He desires to live in Psalm 17, and he wants to keep the Word of God. He prays that God will deal bountifully, generously with his servant. He prays in Psalm 118 that God would open his eyes that he might see the wonderful things that are found in the law of God. What a great, great petition. We should make the same petition daily. God, open our eyes to see the wonders that are found in the Bible. Absolute wonders, absolute blessing. He longs for God's judgments, he says in verse 20. He desires that God would remove reproach and contempt from him. And he has declared that he has consistently sought to obey God and has kept the law of God. He says that God's testimonies are his delight and give him counsel. And we find in the next section, this is the fourth section beginning with the Hebrew word daleth, that the psalmist declares that he needs new life by virtue of the living Word of God. He declares there that his soul has fallen, is down. He is clinging to the dust spiritually, and he needs God to lift him up and revive him and fill him with new life again. And he declares that revival in several places in the psalm will come through the Word of God. We find in verse 40, for instance, "Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness." In verse 37, "Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things. Revive me in your way." He cries out for understanding, for teaching, that God Almighty would teach him, not put him to shame. Give him grace to obey the commandments. Enlarge his heart to receive the word, not to deny God's word, to receive the word of God so that he can run freely in obedience to God's commandments. He says in verse 42 that he has come to find the blessing of trusting in God's word, of hoping in God's ordinances, verse 43. He walks at liberty, verse 45. He has freedom. His conscience is clean. He enjoys true fellowship with God because he has a heart that seeks after God's will, God's precepts. He declares that he speaks of God's testimony all the day long. He delights himself in the commandments of God, verse 47, which he loves. The psalm just echoes and re-echoes again in beautiful poetry the glory of the Word of God. This is the comfort that the psalmist has in his troubles and his affliction. He says in verse 50, that he remembers God's word, his promise to his servant, and he has come to hope in that promise so that even in affliction, he is comforted because the promise has come to him, that is, the word has come to him, and the word has brought comfort and given him life. Praise the Lord. The word of God has brought him life. Just as James tells us in the New Testament that we are born again by the living seed, we are regenerated by the word of God. And we remember that Jesus teaches us that the word of God is to abide in our hearts, to continue in our hearts. And so this happens as we daily meet with God and come to read and think deeply upon his word. A great simple discipline so necessary to godliness and overcoming sin. Simply spending time with God every day in this living word which is life transforming. And of course, my friends, we need discipline. We need God's help to overcome the sinful nature that would not want us to meet with God in his word. But that grace is sufficient for us so that we can develop in Christian discipline this great habit of looking to the law of God. He says that indignation takes hold of him in verse 53 because the wicked forsake his law. That is the great mark of the lost man. He has forsaken, he has cast away the law of God. He will not receive the law of God, but the righteous receive the law of God. He says there in verse 54 that such comfort has come that he sings the statutes of God in the house of his pilgrimage. In other words, he sings the word of God in his home as he is making pilgrimage through this world to his eternal home in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus and the Father. And so it is that he remembers God's name, his character, and the blessing of obedience has come to him by the grace of God. God has become his very own portion, and he encourages us that he made haste and did not delay to keep God's commandments. He tells us that the earth is full of God's mercy, and because of this great mercy of God, he desires the statutes of God. My friends, we recognize quite easily that nations who do not worship the Lord Jesus for the most part are places of great spiritual darkness, and it is quite common for these nations or places where the word of God is rejected that the darkness and opposition to God is very strong. Where the word of God is received more easily, there is more light in that nation or place. And that is because the word of God, he declares, is a light to his feet and a lamp to his path. The word of God is a light that guides his very footsteps. He's saying that he is walking in obedience to the word, and he looks to the word to enlighten the way forward for him. And so in this great mercy of God, God in his goodness does good. And in Psalm 68, he says that God in his goodness, he cries out that God would teach him to teach him his statutes. The proud man, he says, who has turned from the word of God is likened to a man whose heart is fat as grease. But the man who trusts in God has a living, believing heart of flesh that really beats to the song of the love of God. The believing heart is in sync. It is in beat. It is in tempo, if you will, with God who loves us. We love him because he first loves us. And the heart beats this love song back to God, if you will, because of the precious truth that has come to enter into our hearts and abide there. And so it is that he declares in many places here again in Psalm 78, I will meditate upon your precepts. I will seek you. My eyes, in verse 82, fail from searching your word. Your word is a lamp to my feet. And so he declares that the word of God is settled forever in the heavens. And he declares to us that God is faithful and God has spoken and the truth of God is declared. Another psalm declares that God's glory is revealed in the heavens and then declares to us the glory of the declared will of God in the Bible. Praise the Lord. And so it is that he seeks God's commandment. He says there in verse 96 that he has seen the consummation, that is the fulfillment of all perfection. He has seen ultimate perfection as best a man can see. And that has come through his knowledge of God. But he declares that the commandment of God is exceedingly broad. This believing man, David, has come to see the fullness of perfection in the Godhood through the man, Jesus Christ, and declares that the word of God, though, however, the very word of that great and excellent God that he has come to see in perfection is exceedingly broad. That is, the word of God reaches to the furthest possible points. The word of God is settled in the heavens. The word of God is declared from the heavens. The word of God is found in the world, in the precious, holy Bible. So that the psalmist declares there in verse 97, again, in his wonderfully human way, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. And so, my friends, our time is gone, but we'll plan to continue and finish this very short sermon series next week as the Lord leads us in Psalm 119. And until then, may the Lord of glory bless you. Let us pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for the excellence of your word. Thank you that these are not just words on a page, but these are spiritual words which are life to us, Lord, and the fullness of life and blessing. And by your Spirit, these words live in our hearts and our minds. Thank you for the living, powerful, sharp Word of God. Bless it to our hearts. Bless this word that has come to the hearts of my listeners today, Lord. Bless Psalm 119, the verses they've heard, to their hearts. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord of glory and grace, the true God, bless you.